Welcome to Double Take, critical, sometimes confrontational, always amusing conversations about movies. Double Take is a Cinema Classics production produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. I'm Johnny DiLoretto.
I'm John DeSando.
Double Take begins now. Have you ever heard, do you hear in your circles, and you know, maybe we're talking about concentric circles because we run in some of the same ones. Anybody in those circles complain about Wes Anderson?
I don't even know that they talk about Wes Anderson. And this is a question I was going to ask you.
Really?
I think only people who really love movies and who accept eccentric movies embrace Wes Anderson.
Okay.
So that
That's interesting. So you're saying that only people who really care or nerded out about movies
exactly
really even know or are aware of who he is. Okay. Well, let me pose this to you, because in my circles, and I shouldn't say that necessarily it is personal circles, because sometimes I see this kind of conversation happen online with people I don't know. But there is, it's like Wes Anderson really rubs some people the wrong way. And I'm trying to gauge what that is. So criticism that I hear oftentimes is, oh, here we go. It's like another Wes Anderson movie. You know, it's going to be so this or so that. It's going to look like this and look like that with these types of shots and everything. And I guess my question to you is, how do we shut these people up? Because that is so annoying to me. Here is one of the most uniquely voiced and directors, filmmakers in a generation. And we have people complaining that it's a Wes Anderson movie. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. And here's what I think. Here's where I think it works to have a dialogue with people about Wes Anderson. First of all, disabuse them of the idea that a film has to be linear, like a stage play, going from beginning to end.
Okay.
He is so discursive. And you need to talk about him to see even what the through line is in all of his. There are those who will complain, more sophisticated people who will complain he's all style. And this is a pervasive criticism of him. And you know how meticulous each shot of his is.
Right.
And it is, and the speech of his characters who talk right to the camera is so stylized. Is so stylized itself that, in other words, that I think that people need to talk about it with people like us who love him, so that to see why we do. So I think it's a great question.
So his latest movie, we should say, is The French Dispatch.
Yes.
Which is new for him in as much as it's a triptych of a movie. It tells three different primary stories. It's a love letter to the Paris Review and the New Yorker, the early days of those magazines, the journalism of which is kind of fast fading, if not altogether disappeared. This movie to me was a big FU to those people that complain about, here's another Wes Anderson movie. In other words, he has dialed up everything that is Wes Anderson-ish about this movie to the nth degree. Everything about it is Wes Anderson on steroids, and I loved it because I did feel like he was taking on those critics, that criticism in a way, and saying, hey, look, this is what I'm doing, right? And the frame is so rich. Every frame of this movie is so rich with detail and attention to composition, color. The movie changes from black and white to color. It changes formats from an old 1930s style aspect ratio to a 1950s, 1960s widescreen ratio. He's the music, the sounds, the facial expressions of the actors, the line deliveries, the dialogue itself. Everything, it seems to me what he's done here is made every element in a movie equally as important as the other elements. So that nothing is prioritized.
But I think you need to layer his sense of humor.
Oh, well, yeah.
His irony
structure.
With what you're talking, with the images you're talking about.
That's all gravy for me. Yeah. The humor and the irony is
but
just
gravy. We're talking about people we want to introduce to it. They have to know that this is happening. And when you have the same actors, many of the same actors, the essential Wes Anderson actor is Bill Murray.
Right.
And these are deadpan types, or he has them deliver deadpan, where you can hear their sense of humor, their irony, their kind of looking at the world and saying, you know, we know this is all BS, but look at this, because we can have fun with it. We can be nostalgic about the 1930s, about the New Yorker. He can do all of this if you're willing to go with us. And so you look at Adrian Brody, who won an Oscar, but the guy is like deadpanning right throughout.
Yeah.
This is a wonderful way of I think it's a Wes Anderson dump. I think he's dumping everything that he does right on
us. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know.
That's what this is. It's like he's not recoiling from his style. He's amping it up.
I know.
And that's what I really sort of delighted in with the movie.
I think you'd enjoy what he says relative to this.
Please share it with me.
I want to try not to repeat myself, but then I seem to do so. continuously in my films. It's not something I make any effort to do. I just want to make films that are personal but interesting to an audience. I feel I get criticized for style over substance and for details that get in the way of the characters. But every decision I make is how to bring those characters forward.
I want you to send that to me.
Right.
First of all, the first person I'm sending it to is my wife.
Oh, good, good.
Who is one of the ones who, she loves Wes Anderson, but she has this argument that artists should grow, artists should change, right?
Yeah.
And that an artist who is stuck or keeps doing the same thing is somehow, you know, compromising their talent or their abilities. Now, I think filmmaking is a little different than, say, songwriting. You know, filmmaking, you know, is so rare. It is so exceedingly rare that a filmmaker can last as long as Wes Anderson has. Now making movies for about 30 years. I mean, we're talking about the early 90s.
He looks like he's in his 20s. Seriously, look at the photo of him.
I know, he's great. but I love that he said that because great artists, yes, they do grow, but they also... Great artists want to explore themes. They explore themes. They route around in the pen of their ideas, oftentimes for decades, right? That's why they become an artist, because they have a preoccupation.
Sure.
And they're working through it. You know, this movie is light years different away from his early movies like Bottle Rocket or Rushmore. You know, so in some ways he has grown.
And those were very linear. So he has really grown a long ways, but he wants to be personal.
A lot of them are linear, like Fantastic Mr. Fox, Moonrise Kingdom.
But even Budapest, I mean, even though that's a...
That one jumped. That one does jump.
Yeah.
So maybe that is a recent sort of acquisition among his artistic concerns.
You know, I don't want Van Gogh to be painting like Picasso.
Right.
There's a big difference. I don't want him to jump like that.
And this is my point, exactly. The criticism leveled against Wes Anderson is that, from what I gather, what I'm hearing is, we want Wes Anderson to make movies like everyone else.
Yeah, I know.
We want them to look and feel like everyone else's movies, and I cannot abide by that argument. It's not an argument.
And let me say this. I don't want Woody Allen... to make films like Wes Anderson.
Right.
Okay? But they're in a sense...
And I don't want Scorsese making a Wes Anderson movie or, you know...
Can I give you another anecdote,
please,
that supports what you're saying?
Yeah. Especially if it supports what I'm saying.
Yes,
all right.
Martin Scorsese, big fan of Wes Anderson.
Okay.
In the Esquire magazine article, he said that Wes Anderson is the next... Martin Scorsese.
How about that? Yes.
Now that's...
I want you to send that one to me as well. You're listening to Double Take, critical, sometimes confrontational, always amusing conversations about movies. This one, a case in point, We're having a good time here. And unfortunately, we're agreeing on Wes Anderson because it is exhausting. I get mentally exhausted coming up against this anti-Wes Anderson argument. I don't understand either why films in the popular conversation are held to different standards than other works. In other words, okay, so like I hear this criticism, right, about why is Wes Anderson's movies all the same, blah, mm-hmm, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Also, a lot of times recently, in light of, you know, cultural sort of progressions that we're making, you'll hear this thing. This movie hasn't aged well. This movie is now canceled because it has such and such in it, right? But the popular culture isn't holding other examples to the fire, yeah, like novels or music or theater. You know what I mean? Well, it's like we only focus on movies. And there's something about Wes Anderson in particular that I feel, like you said, rubs people the wrong way.
Yeah.
Okay? And well, you said it best when you said they need Wes Anderson fans to kind of help them through it.
Yes.
And I think that's really the heart of it, mm-hmm, is that nobody wants to be told about movies. No one wants to be, because you've always said this, that movies are the great popular art, right?
Oh, yeah. The greatest in the history of.
And so everybody feels like they're an expert, even when they're not.
Yeah, and they don't want to be told how to watch it.
Yeah.
They don't want to be in class,
right,
because it's also seen as a kind of palliative for the rough life. Let's go to a movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so when.
Or I don't like to think about movies,
right. I don't like to think. So why is this guy so weird, as they're saying to themselves? But yet I had friends who came with me to see this one.
Yeah.
Who actually enjoyed it, because I think they let themselves go.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, if of all of his films, I think this one is probably the most challenging.
Oh, I agree, yes.
Because of the three-story structure, yeah, and then the wraparound structure with Bill Murray.
Yeah.
So you have an added.
And you actually layer. Have about five, I figured five stories within those three.
Yeah.
And so he's really challenging
it. Right. And the writing is so, it goes, the line delivery is so fast.
Yes.
The actual lines themselves are intricately orchestrated, you know, literary. It's very literary. As you said, and there always is in a Wes Anderson movie, humor and irony.
Yes.
But this one is so fast and furious.
Yes.
And like I said, the frame is so packed,
yep,
with detail.
Yeah.
And the music and everything is so, again, elevated to a point of equality across.
Well, you know,
that I just feel I find this one more challenging for non-Wes Anderson fans than anything he's
Well,
done.
I think you and I talked, and I did mention to you this was something like a poem to France, mm-hmm, and to our romantic notions of French
in that particular era.
Yeah, in that era, and in that way. I'm reminded of Woody Allen's Midnight in Paris,
mm-hmm,
but this one, of course, is way much more exotic. What Wes Anderson would you show somebody who you know is going to be find it difficult unless you're there with them?
Sure. I still think that The Royal Tenenbaums is his.
Oh, you're great! This is exactly
masterpiece.
My choice. Yes.
Followed closely by Rushmore and the Grand Budapest Hotel. Now,
great.
Something we should discuss, I feel, because it's necessary, because people think that, you know, these movies are emotionally aloof sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you really understand this artist,
mm-hmm,
that they're not aloof at all. He is just taking a very delightfully circuitous route to emotional truths. And my case in point is The Royal Tenenbaums.
Mm-hmm.
Under that whole crazy structure of that movie in the through line, which is Gene Hackman he's coming to the end of his life, he's making amends, and he wants to make definitive connections with the people he loves.
Mm-hmm.
There's a line at the end of the movie where Ben Stiller's character, chaos has ensued. There's a big farcical blow up at the wedding. or whatever it
it's
is.
It's his
the
best
funeral,
family
right.
film.
And at the end of it, Ben Stiller kind of breaks down a little bit, and he tells Gene Hackman, I've had a rough year, Dad. And the it gives me goosebumps, and I every time I see it, I tear up. And it's a very painful, emotionally fraught, but true moment. And I feel like he completely earns that. It's not an afterthought. I feel like everything about the movie is built around that truth. He's getting us there by way of by another route, right? Which most movies would be laying the path to that very clearly. He's not. He wants to get at it from a different way. And I feel like all of these movies, The French Dispatch had a very emotional couple of moments, mm-hmm. And The Grand Budapest Hotel did. But he's coming at it from another route.
Listen, I had an artist friend, and she was just enthralled by the Benicio del Toro segment,
okay.
Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
The art, modern art, an artist who's a prisoner. And this, she thought this hit perfectly, the changes that were going on in painting and in art, and actually was the most accessible one, I thought, of all the French Dispatch.
Okay.
Made the most sense. And Del Toro, who's completely playing opposite his romantic image,
yeah,
did a terrific job. And Tilda Swinton selling his stuff,
yeah,
there at the, it was like a TED Talk. Excellent.
Well, you make a good point about the structure of the movie, is that each one of the stories in the movie are told through the writer of the French Dispatch, the writer's point of view. Right?
Yes, exactly.
And so you necessarily get a little bit of their story,
right,
and their perspective, right? But the stories themselves of that they're telling hold up in and of themselves.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the Jeffrey Wright story at the end with the chef.
Yes.
Is really fun and sort of probably I thought the most accessible because it has this chase element to it and a kidnapping and all these big lurid details.
And you got to love some of the simpler moments, the easy one. When the kid comes in to deliver the message to the editorial office,
yeah,
he fires him,
yeah,
tells him not to cry.
Yeah,
and then they pan up to right. Don't cry.
That's the other thing, but we're almost out of time. But
yeah.
Wes Anderson can do, he can make you laugh with a camera, with a camera movement.
Yes.
Sometimes one of his little things that he loves to do is have these big wide shots, right?
Yeah, wide angle shots, exactly.
With the characters sort of in frame, but from a distance, and then one character suddenly bolting out of frame. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make...
No, because he'll take a shot like that you're talking about. He'll pan over quickly to something else,
mm-hmm.
and then he'll come back to that one.
Right, that's another movie.
right.
That's funny, yeah. So he's doing these, he's making jokes with the camera, which I don't know of any other filmmaker doing that. Scorsese would do that.
Okay.
I'm thinking of a shot in After Hours where Griffin Dunn wants to catch these keys and he gets nervous and at the last minute moves away and Scorsese can capture the angst with his camera.
And I would love to count the number of straightforward shots of De Niro in any of his films.
Yeah.
Where he loves his face and where he loves to get up kind of close. So this precisely centered straight on shots are also characteristic of him. He's got some that he uses most of the time that I think very effective because he doesn't play with the camera. He does use a handheld for the ones I was talking about.
Yeah.
Where you're going for one, but he doesn't maneuver the camera. He actually uses maybe a half a dozen at the most camera shots. He has one where he does a 90 degree angle with the character.
Who are you talking about? Anderson?
Wes. Wes. I'm just saying that he doesn't use that many, nor does he try.
Yeah.
But when he does, it emphasizes what he wants, which is, I believe, really character. And as much as I love the detail of France, I love the detail of his characters. They are unforgettable.
Right. And they're delightful. In closing, I would say if this is your first Wes Anderson movie, or if you're a reluctant viewer of Wes Anderson's films, think of it this way. The French Dispatch is as much a gift to the eye, to the human eye,
you're right,
as any movie I've recently seen.
And you are absolutely right.